Welcome back to His Time. I'm your host, Andy Bates. Joining me by phone this morning, Dr. Beverly Yonke. She's the chair of the Department of Social Sciences and full professor in the psychology program at Concordia University. Also serves as the executive director for Christian Council of Doxology and also author of Identifying Capable Counselors for Your Parishioners in the September 2014 Michigan In Touch District Periodical. Welcome to His Time, Dr. Yonke.
It's a pleasure to join you, Andy. Thanks for the invitation.
It's good to get to talk with you and to spend some time talking about finding resources for pastors and other church leaders when it comes to capable counselors that you can trust when making a referral. First, let's talk about when are the times that a pastor or another church worker or church leader might need to or want to make a referral to a professional counselor for one of their parishioners?
That's an excellent question, and I'm so pleased you've asked it. Very often, particularly pastors and other church workers, come to imagine that if an individual seeks spiritual care, that to make a referral for any other kind of care might not be seen as welcome or appropriate. My experience has taught me, however, that a pastor can be absolutely essential to serving his or her sheep and lambs, and when the occasion arises for mental health care or family care. And perhaps some of the chief issues for which a pastor would want to refer, or a deaconess, or a school principal, at the moment an individual has any concerns about the safety of the individual with whom they're talking, whether it be thoughts about suicide, thoughts about potential abuse, thoughts about neglect, never be responsible for a person's ongoing safety. That is a chief cause for referral. And I would recommend that pastors and DCEs and DCOs have on their phone the number that they would call if they were dealing with an individual who needed acute care. It's always awkward to go scrambling about in a moment of need online trying to find the right connection. So that might be on every professional church worker's list of things to do. Find out whom it is you would call and what is it you would expect when you connected with that agency. So safety issues, always an immediate referral. Another very high cause for referral is individuals who are suffering with depression. And depression can leave, as you're well aware, individuals paralyzed and not seeking care, not able to tend to some of the most fundamental issues of their vocations, even of parenting, or their professional vocations. When an individual is feeling demoralized, discouraged, and reports to a church worker, "I just don't have the energy to do this anymore. I can't think straight. I can't get anything done." Certainly spiritual care is going to be required, as we want the individual to understand God's sure and certain promise to be with them and to equip them thoroughly. But if an individual is telling you he has the signs and symptoms of depression, that individual is going to profit enormously from a professional evaluation and learning some recommendations about what could help. So suspicion of depression, or an individual who's suffering with anxiety, who's finding it very difficult to take on some of the responsibilities of daily life due to a pattern of ongoing troubling thoughts. Once again, spiritual care is required, and we want for pastors or deaconesses to pray with these individuals and to encourage them with God's word and to keep vigil with them, but we also want them to be evaluated so that they can receive some professional care to address the symptoms and the signs which are slowing down functionality outside of the spiritual realm. And I guess thirdly, I'd say just about every professional with whom I'm acquainted has spoken of one or two or three cases when they have honestly said to themselves, "I have no idea what I'm doing here. I have no idea how to help this person beyond praying with them, blessing them, keeping vigil with them, offering them some spiritual comfort. This person has problems that are way outside my level of capacity to provide functional assistance beyond spiritual assistance." That person should be referred, and it's a humble acknowledgement that all of us have some limits, and very often a real evaluation can be of great assistance to all kinds of people. And then finally, if you see a family that's in complete fruit basket upset, a family where vocation of mother and father is confused and parenting is not perhaps adequate and structure is inadequate for the children, and one or both of the parents may be having personal struggles, ordinarily that kind of referral at that time for some family care would be wonderful. And someone who's exquisitely skilled to help parents parent and to help children learn some structure and some basic family survival skills would be terrific. Naturally, the concern is some church workers believe if I've made a referral, fine, they'll be cared for, they're off my list of people with whom I should be meeting. Absolutely not. When you've referred, please continue your connection with this individual and invite them to stay in touch with you and to ensure the visits for spiritual care certainly continue. Long answer to a short question. Sorry about that.
That's okay. You've touched on this a little bit already, but is there a line between pastoral counseling and what a professional counselor might tend to? I'm sure it's a fine line in many cases, but is there a line between what we might consider pastoral counseling, what a pastor or a church worker might offer if they're not necessarily a licensed or professional counselor?
Certainly, and some what I would call some traditional common sense wisdom is going to be available to the pastor in addition to all those other elements of spiritual care, confession and absolution, reference to Scripture, discussing God's holy word, praying the Psalms. All of those things are important and uniquely appropriate for spiritual care. There's a good area of overlap between what a pastor may do in providing spiritual care and some of the preliminary work that a counselor would do in terms of creating a relationship with the person of trust and respect and offering encouragement and guidance. I would say both counseling and spiritual care providers share in that responsibility. There's also a desire to serve the person, both from the role of the spiritual care provider and the counselor. Where the dotted line seems to emerge would be that the counselor has a toolkit with which the church worker is not equipped. The toolkit, for example, for the psychologist is going to begin with a very thorough psychological assessment and intake that's going to discuss the individual's current issues from a perspective of psychological analysis of behaviors, patterns of behaviors, habits of interaction, beliefs and misbeliefs about one's own ability. So the psychological evaluation is a tool that our church workers aren't using and usually yields a diagnosis. We don't want church workers giving diagnoses, largely because that's not the area of their specialized training. But in the case of a psychologist, the evaluation allows for us to move forward to a diagnosis that then yields recommendations for specific psychological care. And it may encourage some careful discussions about habits of thinking, habits of behavior, patterns that they need to examine critically that they have brought with them from childhood or teen years, and using some very well-regarded conventions of psychological practice in traditional psychotherapy, for which the spiritual care provider simply isn't equipped.
So there's definitely a difference between what a pastor or a church worker might provide if they're not a licensed professional counselor, but both the professional counselor and the church worker serve in ways that provide help and support just in different areas. They're both in what we might call helping professions, but
yeah,
address different needs.
Yes, and both have at heart the genuine well-being of this person whom God has placed before them. And one of the greatest things that we can do is say, what is it that given my profession and vocation that I can offer this person, and what can't I? I'm not an exegete, for example. I'm not a pastor. And so I expect that the pastor is going to be able to discuss issues in ways I could never do nearly as well and as clearly and as fully. And the pastor, although he may be able to provide encouragement and support and some counsel for making basic decisions, my tool chest has in it some tools that allow me to do it in some different ways, which will lead people to acquire skills as opposed to receive comfort.
We're talking with Dr. Beverly Yonke, Chair of the Department of Social Sciences and full professor in the psychology program at Concordia University and also Director for Christian Council of Doxology. We need to take a quick break. When we come back from that break, we'll continue our conversation with Dr. Yonke on pastors and making referrals to capable counselors, finding good and trustworthy capable counselors. Stick around for more His Time right after this break on Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.
KFUO celebrates our 90th anniversary. On December 14, 1924, from a small attic studio in St. Louis, KFUO was heard for the very first time. Our founders used the motto, keeping forward, upward, and onward, to go along with the call letters assigned to the station. And from that day on, KFUO has moved forward through each decade, proclaiming a Christ-centered message. We've moved upward with broadcasting in AM, FM, HD, and satellite syndication of KFUO programs. Worldwide KFUO continues to move onward, using today's technologies including internet streaming, on-demand programs, and podcasting. The mission of that first day is the mission we have today. Go out and proclaim the gospel. Now, through the end of January, join us for fun and memories during this 90-day celebration with a new theme each week, reflecting on our 90 years of ministry. KFUO, the messenger of good news.
If you've ever experienced hospice, you know how meaningful it is. What you may not realize, however, is the need for compassionate volunteers. Lutheran Senior Services Hospice Care is seeking volunteers willing to assist through friendly visits, running errands, or even sitting with patients while caregivers take a break. To make sure our volunteers are comfortable, we provide a thorough orientation to volunteering for hospice. If interested, visit lssliving.org/volunteers.
Concordia University, Mequon, Wisconsin, overlooks the beautiful shoreline of Lake Michigan. This serene main campus of CUW is just 15 miles north of Milwaukee, with all its vibrant cultural attractions. At Concordia University, Wisconsin, students living by the motto of Inspiration in Action can choose from 69 undergraduate majors, 14 master degree programs, and doctorates in pharmacy, physical therapy, and nursing practice. For more information or to take a virtual tour, visit cuw.edu.
Welcome back to His Time. I'm your host, Andy Bates. Today, we're talking with Dr. Beverly Yonke, Chair of the Department of Social Sciences and full professor in the psychology program at Concordia University, Wisconsin, and also Director for Christian Council of Doxology. And we've been talking about how to make referrals, how to identify capable counselors, trustworthy counselors, especially as a pastor. How do you make that that connection, make a referral? How do you find a counselor that you can trust? And Dr. Yonke, what are some of the steps that you would recommend for a pastor or other church workers who are trying to find a trustworthy counselor that they can use to make referrals for their parishioners?
What an important question. What a useful question. Thank you for that. I think perhaps the single most important thing is for pastors or church workers at the outset to make a commitment to assembling a list of individuals whom they trust and whom they respect and to whom they could refer with confidence. I think our habit is usually to wait until some sort of mini crisis or emergency emerges, and then we go flailing about and online and feeling very pressed to find a source immediately and discover it may not be as easy a task as we had imagined. So my first recommendation is start now. Even if there's not someone in your office who's desperately in need of some sort of evaluation or psychological support, to be equipped with the names up front serves you so well when you do need the names or when a brother in office may need the names as well. There are a couple of excellent resources that we can turn to with confidence. Our district offices are wonderful resources for us. Many of our districts have a Commission on Ministerial Health and Support or some kind of a mental health committee. And usually the DP assembles a number of professionals on a regular basis to discuss matters of interest regarding church worker care in the district. Often, serving on that committee, you will find some psychologists, some social workers, some professional counselors who have a genuine understanding of the nature of our faith, and who have seen a good many church workers, they may be excellent people to whom you could refer with confidence. Or the district office often has simply a list of providers that they have discovered are wonderfully helpful, are doctrinally appropriate, and are good not only at what they do professionally, but as people of faith are very compassionate in their dealings with sheep and lambs. So some district offices just have a list of individuals, and they'd be happy to release that list to you if it's available. That often is found simply by giving the president's office a call at district. If, as you look through that list, people are unavailable, or for some reason or another, you might be seeking an individual with a particular specialization. Not all counselors treat all issues. You may be looking for someone who particularly, for example, has an eating disorder specialty. That may require a little more trolling to determine whom it is that could meet that need effectively. Mm-hmm. And so what you might want to do is have a couple of pastors within 50 miles who are on your speed dial. And you ask them the same question. To whom do you refer with confidence?
Sure.
Do you know if these individuals have any specializations? And that makes the most sense in the world, because once again, you're not just drawing from some sort of a website unknown, but you're getting the recommendation of people who have referred and trust the professionals whom they're suggesting to you. So that's a wonderful resource. Sometimes pastors are reluctant to talk with their brothers about resources, as if, I can't manage this by myself. I have to reach out to someone else. Absolutely reach out to someone else.
Mm-hmm.
No need to recreate the wheel, and every reason on earth to profit from valuable lists that have already been assembled. We recognize that not all counselors are going to be counselors who practice the faith as we do. And although it can be very, very useful to have a Christian counselor who shares an understanding of the creed, who understands certainly everything about the confessions, that's going to be tough to find. And sometimes you may simply have to say, I would simply love someone who shares the notion that, yes, there is a Trinitarian God, and maybe this person's going to be Catholic. Call the priest in town.
Mm-hmm.
This kind of a strategy becomes more useful when you're in a smaller environment, when the providers are not as easy to come by, and you're going to have to dig a little bit more. The local priest very often has a very good list of individuals who are consonant with faith, who are going to endorse a good number of the issues that a Lutheran would endorse in terms of basic understandings of being pro-life, for example,
mm-hmm.
Basic understandings of the importance of worship. And so a priest may be able to give you some suggestions as well. Those three mm-hmm. have failed, there's hope
sure.
for more.
Well, you mentioned how important it's valuable to have, to have different, if possible, to have different professionals to call upon for different types of needs. For example, you mentioned eating disorders and things like that. Might want someone who specializes in that. I know when I served full time in a parish, we had a therapist that we called upon quite often for a number of things that we made referrals to. And when you have a good therapist like that, that you can trust, that you can make referrals to, they stay quite busy. You find that you're pretty regularly making referrals because we seem to be, there never seems to be a shortage of need for this kind of support.
I appreciate your reference to the fact that it's not an unusual occurrence,
mm-hmm.
that in fact pastors can be helped routinely by some skilled others to assist them, and that to refer someone does not necessarily mean that you are washing your hands of them and you're simply shipping them out. Instead, you're providing a remarkably helpful service in connecting them with people with special skills. Yeah. If your first hopes for finding a good, solid Christian counselor have not been meeting with success, you may need to check a little bit of a larger circle mm-hmm. of resources available to you. Ordinarily, a university is going to have a psychology department or, perhaps even more fruitful, a guidance and counseling department on campus. Every university has some sort of professional counselor who has to refer hundreds of students elsewhere. And generally, universities do a fine job of carefully screening any off-campus counselors to ensure that they are competent, extremely well-versed in what they do. And so it would make sense to see if they could suggest a name or two that might be useful. These folks could be particularly helpful if you have one of those very tightly defined needs, like, I have somebody with an eating disorder, or I have somebody who is having this kind of paranoid schizophrenia thing, and the social worker said she doesn't do that. Mm-hmm. So the university could connect you, hopefully, with a larger array of professionally trained people for some very special needs. So that could be a bonus to check into as well. I'm going to suggest extreme caution in moving towards a search of the web in general mm-hmm. for counselors. There is, for example, a web page for the American Association of Christian Counselors. And the AACC does have a locator page that will allow you to identify counselors within 25 to 50 miles of your specific zip code. And that can be a help if you haven't been able to find anything thus far. I'm going to kind of raise a word of caution. Not everyone who is in the American Association of Christian Counselors is going to embrace what we would regard as the one true faith, and that there are an array of people who claim to be Christian counselors who haven't a clue what it means to remember your baptism, who haven't a clue what it means to receive the Lord's Supper. So if you are moving into that wild, wild world of ill-defined, non-denominational evangelicals, I would prompt extreme caution, and in fact, would suggest that you find the most highly credentialed secular counselor before you would move towards somebody who could well provide competing models of faith for your sheep and lambs.
So it might be a helpful resource, but to use with caution.
Absolutely, with caution. And so now you've got some names from one of these sources. Good for you. Now what do you do? My recommendation is that you never, ever refer a human being to anyone unless you have, at a minimum, had a phone conversation with this person. And I would encourage you to ask some tough questions of this individual. At a minimum, you want to know if they're a cognitive behavioral therapist. And a cognitive behavioral therapist tends to be the person who probably has the best levels of training and who is most likely to be practicing according to what we would call guidelines for best practice, using research-based treatment strategies that help people get well. You would probably also want to know from this person whether or not he or she accepts insurance purposes. Are they part of a very constrained service model? Are they in private practice? What insurances do they take? You'll also want to ask them whether or not they're going to invite individuals to bring the resources of their faith with them into the process. The answers to that are fascinating, to tell you the truth. And it may also be useful to ask, would you regard yourself as a practicing Christian? Usually I evaluate that by how many seconds it takes them to gasp for breath and formulate an answer. If a person can't answer either of those two questions, the personal faith question and how would you invite another to bring faith into the process, if they can't answer those, gosh, I'm not sure you want your folks visiting with them unless they're at the very end of the list and the only ones left.
All good questions, all things certainly that are valuable to consider. Dr. Yonke, our time is winding down with just a few seconds left, about a half a minute left. Anything else that you'd like to point us to as we wrap up our conversation today when it comes to finding a trustworthy and capable counselor for your parishioners?
When you do find that counselor and you've made the referral, I would encourage you to share with the person you're referring that you intend to continue to be available to provide spiritual care, and you would be happy to talk with that counselor if the person would will it. And in fact, I would suggest that you try to make a connection with the counselor, since he or she could provide perhaps some assistance to you in understanding some of the psychological issues that might be more challenging, and could it be helpful to you as you continue to provide spiritual care as well.
Very good. We've been talking with Dr. Beverly Yonke, Chair of the Department of Social Sciences and full professor in the psychology program at Concordia University, Wisconsin, also serving as the Executive Director for Christian Council of Doxology. Dr. Yonke, thank you so much for being our guest today.
My pleasure. Every blessing to you and all those who listen.
Thank you. And I feel much better now.
Well, I'm relieved to hear it.
God's blessings. Coming up, we've got more His Time in just a little bit. Stick around for more right after this break on Worldwide KFUO.